When I was a kid, I used to go trick-or-treating with my best friend Michael every year. One time in particular stands out when we were about 10 years old. It was just the two of us going, and we had no parent supervision. We both felt that we were old enough to go by ourselves. Plus, the area that we lived in was generally pretty safe. Michael and I started out at my house and left pretty early. First, we went around the houses in my neighborhood and then headed to Michael's. We could walk to his house, and it was about 10 minutes to do that. I guess technically we lived in the same neighborhood, but it seemed like a different one as a kid. That general area had so many houses, so we saw quite a few other kids trick-or-treating throughout the night. Some kids were with parents, and others were on their own, like us. I remember at one point, maybe a couple of hours in, walking down the street and seeing a few random kids and this one guy. The guy was wearing all black pants and a black shirt, and then he had a pumpkin mask on which covered his entire head. It was really creepy looking. We kept on going, and we went to all of the houses around Michael's neighborhood. Sometime later, towards the end of the night, as we were still sort of by Michael's house, we saw this pumpkin man again. He was walking alone in the street, a ways back from us. There were no other kids around anymore other than us in this particular area. We had seen the guy a long ways away before this, and we were both sure that he was an adult. We both started to take notice of him a little bit more. As we went up driveways to trick-or-treat, the guy stayed in the street. But when we progressed down the street, he seemed to do so as well. It was like he was walking in the street following us, but at an extremely slow pace. We didn't know who he was either. Maybe he was just a random guy who decided to dress up and walk the streets. To be honest though, he was starting to scare me, and Michael didn't seem to like it either. We soon decided to be done and head back. It was beginning to get late, and our legs were tired from all the walking. We turned at the next street, which we had already visited every house on. We were going to walk back down it, and then would only have to walk down a couple of more streets. After entering the street, soon after, we saw the pumpkin man again. He must have sped up significantly to get to that street so quickly. He had been a lot further back before. But now that he was on the street, he was still walking really slow. The guy was not looking at us, but kind of slowly walking an indirect route down the street and looking down at the ground. Michael and I started walking faster, trying to make it back. When we got to the end of that street and turned, the man behind us soon did the same. By now, he was still a long ways back, but seemingly following us. We were considering making a run for it, but felt like we didn't have to do that just yet. I started talking to Michael about random stuff like sports and the candy that we got to distract myself. And it actually started to work, because after about 5 minutes of walking and talking about stuff, I forgot about the guy. But then I happened to look behind us and noticed the man was much closer now. He was still walking slowly, but had closed the distance on us by almost half. Now he was maybe 50 feet away. When Michael and I saw this, we both looked at each other in horror. Who was this guy and what was he doing? At that point, we couldn't take it anymore, and we both just started running. We had made it a good distance of the way back, and were almost at Michael Street. Soon, we got to it and didn't even bother looking behind us. At last, when we made it to Michael's, we ran through the front yard and inside his house. When we got in the house, we looked out the window. The pumpkin man casually walked down the street and passed Michael's house. But just before going out of our sight, he stopped and then turned to face us. Then he waved before leaving. Michael and I were terrified, but he was gone now. We never saw that man again, and none of us knew who he was. Maybe he was one of our neighbors, but to this day, I have no clue. All I know is that he scared us badly that night. This happened on Halloween when I was a kid, and I went trick-or-treating by myself. I dressed up as Batman and was planning to go trick-or-treating with my friend who was going to be Joker. I was really excited about it, but the day before, my friend told me at school that he was going trick-or-treating with another group of friends. I didn't know those guys, and I even considered not going at all. But I decided that I would just go by myself instead. I was mad at my friend for canceling, and in fact, I'm still mad at him for it today. Because if I went with him, I may not have wound up in the situation that I'm about to tell you about. I left my parents' house and set out to go trick-or-treating that night at about 6 p.m. My mom told me not to go too far off from the house. We lived in a little bit of a quieter area, where the houses are a little bit more spread out. I went to all of the nearby houses and got quite a bit of candy, but I wanted more. It wasn't that late yet, and I ended up going a bit farther out than I should have. I found myself going down streets that I had never been down before, and going to houses that I had never seen. I was confident still that I would be able to make my way back okay, and was planning to be done soon. I remember that on the last street that I went to, the houses were even more spread out. There were less houses on this street, and most of them had longer driveways too. One in particular had a lot of trees in the front yard, and the driveway was very long with many pine cones and acorns on it. After walking up the long driveway, I made it to the front step. I walked right up to the door and rang the doorbell. Just seconds later, I heard the sound of somebody walking closer to the door from inside. Then the door opened. A man stood there, with shorter blonde hair and glasses. I said trick or treat, and the guy said that he forgot it was Halloween tonight. I felt disappointed, knowing that this probably meant the man wasn't going to have any candy. But the man then told me that he was sure he had some candy somewhere in his kitchen. He then told me to come inside his house and wait while he got the candy. I said no thanks. I knew it was weird, and I didn't want to go into somebody's house who I didn't know. Perhaps the man was just saying it to try to be nice, because it was a bit cold outside. He said okay, and then walked away, disappearing inside his house. All I could see, standing from where I was on the front step, was part of the living room. There was a wall blocking my view from where he went, where I assumed was the kitchen. I could see down the first few feet of the hallway leading to it, but not much else. After the man was gone, I stood there and waited. Probably about 30 seconds passed, and then I heard a loud crash coming from the kitchen area in the back of the house. I had no clue as to what it was. Then I heard the man's voice calling for me. He asked if I was still there, and I said yes. The man told me that he had just fallen down trying to reach the candy, and he hurt his leg. He told me that he couldn't get up and asked me to help. I was caught off guard by this bizarre situation. I actually stepped inside and entered the house. To me, I really believed the guy and started walking closer to him in the kitchen area. As I went down the hallway, I could start to see inside of the room where I had heard the noise. It was the kitchen, and I saw several items scattered around on the floor. Then I saw a chair tipped over on its side, but I didn't see the man anywhere. This was now seeming really suspicious. I turned around and started heading back down the hallway towards the door where I came in. At that point, I just wanted to leave. That's when I heard footsteps behind me. I looked back and saw the man. He was walking just fine and headed straight for me. I sprinted away as fast as I could and quickly ran out the front door and through the guy's yard. I ran all the way back into the street and didn't stop. In fact, I kept running until I had made it home. The man did not even follow me out of his house that I'm aware of, but that didn't matter. I was so freaked out. I made it home and felt really lucky to be safe. Looking back on that night, I'm not sure what was going on there, if the man was trying to lure me inside or something. I don't think he fell at all because he was clearly just fine. I didn't go trick-or-treating in that neighborhood again after that. I used to go trick-or-treating every year as a kid with my best friend Danny. We went to most of the houses in the neighborhood that we both lived in. Danny was my next-door neighbor, which was really cool. We became like brothers over the years and are still friends today. So on this one year, when we were probably like 12 or 13, we went trick-or-treating around the neighborhood. We always kind of did the same route and went to just about every house that we could walk to. We would stay out for hours and end up getting lots of candy. On this year, we went late into the night. I don't really know what time it was, but probably after 9 p.m. Towards the end, we came up to this one house. There was a really long driveway, I remember, and as we approached, Danny said that we should turn back. The lights were all off, except for a small one on the front step. This generally meant that the homeowner either wasn't home or wasn't going to answer the door. But then, I noticed a sign. Sometimes, when people didn't want to answer the door, they would just leave a bowl of candy and you could help yourself. We went up to the door where the homemade sign was taped. It said, "Candy at Garage." Now, obviously this sounds kind of weird and did to us at the time as well, but we were curious and we walked to the left of the house and sort of behind it to where the garage was. When we arrived at the garage, the main door for the cars was closed. However, there was a door next to it for people to walk through, like a front door to a house. That door was wide open. Inside the garage looked mostly dark, but we could see that there was a dim light on inside of it. Honestly, it gave me the creeps. I didn't know if that's what the people wanted or what, but right outside of the open garage door, there was a chair with a large bowl on it. There was still a decent amount of candy inside of it. When Danny and I saw this, we got excited. We didn't want to take all of it, but it was pretty late and figured that they wouldn't get many other kids coming here. We both took a large handful and left some for everybody else. But right after we did, we heard a noise coming from inside the garage. Danny and I were both asking each other if we had just heard that or not. We looked inside the garage. It had most of the typical things that you would find inside of a messy garage. Of course, we couldn't see everything, but there were various large boxes, a lawnmower, yard equipment, and some tools, things like that. The sound had come from the back of it. Then, we saw from the back of the garage somebody stand up. It was a man, and he wasn't wearing a costume or anything. The guy stood up and looked right at us, but didn't say anything. Danny and I were too stunned to speak. It looked like he had been hiding back there. Then, the guy started walking towards us. Danny and I moved back and started to walk away. I know that I just wanted to get out of there, but after we had made it about halfway down the driveway, I heard the footsteps behind us. We looked back, and the man was now completely out of the garage and walking towards us. That's when Danny and I started running, and the crazy thing is that the guy behind us started running as well. We made it back out into the street and ran as fast as we could. After we made it to the end of that street, we could hear the man still behind us. He was probably like 30 feet back, but slowly gaining on us. I made the decision to cut through another neighbor's yard, whose backyard connected with mine. We hopped the fence relatively easily and then ran through the backyard into ours. The man behind us hopped the fence after us. I couldn't believe it. Soon, though, we were back in my backyard. We ran around the house to the front and got inside. Then I locked the door and found my mom and told her about it. We looked outside, but didn't see the man in our front or backyard. I never saw him again after that. After talking with my parents and Danny about what had happened, we had a few theories. One was that the person just lived at that house and was trying to scare us. However, my dad knew the entire neighborhood pretty well and said that he was sure a woman lived there and not a guy of the description that we gave. Sure, it could have been her friend or something, but it was a little bit elaborate just to be a scare. Another theory is that somebody had wandered into the garage to possibly steal something and we startled them. Then they chased after us. It also could have been something completely different. Whatever it was, it made for the scariest Halloween that I've ever had. This is something that happened one year on Halloween when I was younger. I remember that my friend Sierra and I were going trick-or-treating, and my brother was going to drive us. He had recently gotten his license and was several years older than us. With him driving, we could go to more houses and also stay warm because it was a cold night. Also, the houses are spread out a bit in the neighborhood that I lived in at the time. We first went to all of the houses on my street, and then my brother drove us across a busier street to another neighborhood. After that, we were able to go to another neighborhood, but we hadn't really planned on going to another one. I guess we had made better time having a car, and my brother drove to another nearby neighborhood that we had never been to before. This one was a little bit bigger and had houses that were not as far apart. Sierra and I were able to walk to a few houses in a row without going back in the car. There were also a decent amount of other kids in this neighborhood. It proved to be a good decision because it got us a lot more candy. As we were in that neighborhood, though, Sierra and I went back to the car, and then my brother started driving, but soon a car appeared behind us. My brother pulled over to let it pass, but the car then pulled over as well. It was not right behind us, but a little ways back. My brother ended up driving us up a ways, and we went to a couple more houses. When we got back in the car behind us was still there. It remained behind us as we finished up that neighborhood. It was following my brother slowly and just appeared to be a normal sedan. Then we were going to go home. We weren't really sure who the car was, but we didn't give it that much thought. When my brother drove away, though, so did the car behind us. We couldn't see anything like who was driving. We just saw headlights. Sierra and I had never got that good of a look at it or paid that close of attention. When my brother made it out of that neighborhood, the car left as well. We were all wondering who it was and why they were seemingly following us. We went back to our neighborhood, which only took like 2 minutes, but the car was still behind us. We didn't want to go back home with the car following. My brother said that he was going to try to lose it. He drove past our house to the end of our street, which happened to be a cul-de-sac. He drove around it, and the car did the exact same thing. There was no question that they were following us, and we didn't know what to do. My brother left our street and drove out to a busier road. The car behind us started getting closer. Then my brother turned at the next street and drove down it. This street was very quiet, and the car behind us would not leave us alone. When we reached the end of that street, there was another quiet road. We went left, and the car behind us did too. My brother then did a quick U-turn and turned back to the other road that we had just been on. He then drove back to the busier road. That's when we got lucky. The car behind us was still back there. It was a little bit farther behind after the U-turn and everything, but it was still there. But on the busier road, a police car happened to be driving by. We got on the road behind it, and the car behind us turned the other way. Then, my brother drove back to our house, and thankfully, the car was nowhere in sight. We never found out who it was in that car, or why they were following us. Years ago, when I was a kid, I went trick-or-treating with my best friend Trevor. We started out in my neighborhood, which was actually pretty small. There were only like 10 houses on it total, and we went to all of them within like 15 minutes or less. After that, Trevor's mom came and drove us to his neighborhood. Now that was much bigger. Trevor lived about 5 minutes away from me, but you had to drive to get there. His neighborhood had a lot more houses and was also right by a golf course. After we got there, his mom went inside, and Trevor and I began going to all of the houses on his street. The street went back quite a ways and curved around a lot as well. It almost seemed never ending. It took us hours, but finally, we were able to go to all of the houses on it. We each used a pillowcase to store all of our candy in, and they soon became extremely heavy. But we were not satisfied. We wanted more. Trevor and I have always been competitive guys. We would weigh our Halloween candy when we got back home to see whose was heavier. I don't really know why we did that, because if we all went to the same houses, technically they should be the same. But it was still fun to see. So after we reached the end of his street and went to all of the houses, there was a sort of busier street there. It was by the golf course and was quiet with no cars on it at the time. We walked on the side of it until we got to another neighborhood, which only took us about a minute to get there. Then we entered that neighborhood and started going to more and more houses. We went for probably another hour, and finally it got really late. People stopped answering the doors, and more houses had their lights off. Finally, we decided to go back home. The only problem was, by then, we had gone so far out that we weren't quite sure how to get back to Trevor's house. The last neighborhood we were in was very large, with several curving streets. Especially with it being night, it was really confusing. We thought we knew how to get back at first, but quickly found out that we didn't. After about 10 minutes of walking around, we realized that we were lost. Neither of us had a cell phone back then. Trevor just had a watch, so we had to figure it out on our own. We knew that we weren't all that far off, but we just didn't know exactly where or how to get back. We walked down a few streets, and then we came across a large stretch of woods on one side. Trevor said that we should cut through the woods. He told me that he was sure his neighborhood was on the other side. The woods were very dense and thick, and part of the golf course. It was also really dark in there. It seemed a little bit scary, but I said okay. Trevor seemed pretty confident about it. We both entered the woods and started walking. We had nothing to shine light and make it easier to see. We were just walking straight ahead and occasionally getting hit with tree branches. But we pressed on. About a minute or two in, we heard a noise behind us. It sounded like somebody was walking through the woods a ways back. Who on earth would be doing that, though? We looked behind us, but couldn't really see anything at first. We kept going and tried to go faster. I'm not going to lie, I was pretty scared. We kept going and continued to hear the person behind us. Trevor and I then both stopped and listened. Whoever it was behind us stopped as well, and things became silent for a second. Then they started walking again, closer to us. Within a few seconds, a man came into view. I couldn't see him very well because it was so dark, but I knew it was a man and I knew I didn't recognize him. Trevor called out to him, but the guy didn't answer. We then both started running through the woods as fast as we could. We could hear the guy running behind us when we did. I didn't look back, and I tried not to pay attention to the sound of the man running. After probably a minute of this, we finally made it out of the woods. It was a great feeling. And even better, I realized that we were in fact in Trevor's neighborhood now, and not far from his house at all. We finally slowed down and stopped to look back at the woods. We were a little ways away now, and thought that the man had stopped chasing us. But that's when we saw him emerge from the woods. He wasn't running or chasing after us, but he did see us. As soon as we saw him, we took off running again. We were able to make it back to Trevor's house safely. Then we were able to weigh our candy and finally relax. I don't know who that guy in the woods was. Him chasing us through the woods was one of the scariest experiences of my life, though.